This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
And last night, I admire this. I really, really do. This was A-Rod-like, I must say. And that is a compliment, Teak, when I say A-Rod-like. It is A-Rod-like to open up your mouth, say something that causes controversy, no matter what side you're on, it's controversial, and then that night, back it up by doing something big. And my guy, because he was my guy before he was any of your guys.
I thought you disowned him.
We have a love-hate relationship. My guy, Mikal Bridges, opened up his mouth. He said something controversial. And then late last night, I know many of you weren't watching, he hit not just a buzzer beater, but when you're down two and you hit a game-winning three, that's a real buzzer beater. But what I'm confused about, Teak, so yesterday late in the show, we heard what Mikal Bridges had to say. He was sort of critical of Tom Thibodeau.
Yep.
And basically telling the coach, hey, let's cut down on the minutes. Partially citing the bench, how guys deserve opportunities, but also saying, quote, sometimes it's not fun on the body. So Bridges was obviously talking about the wear and tear of playing big minutes. Tom Thibodeau addressed this right before the game and says, quote, for one, we never had a conversation about it. Then Tom Thibodeau goes into a diatribe defending the amount of minutes he plays his guys. We'll get to that in a second. Let's start with the first thing. He denied Mikal Bridges' claim that they ever even talked about it.
Well, I think there's nuance in this lack of a conversation, because Mikal Bridges easily could have said to him, hey, Tibbs, enough with the minutes. The bench guys deserve some time. And then walked off.
Mm-hmm.
In passing volley back and forth. And Tom probably looked at him like, get the hell out of here. What? Shut up. Just go play. What? So it's not technically a conversation, but it could have been an interaction. So they both could be right. Like, I can't believe that Mikal Bridges would lie about that.
Oh, no, Mikal Bridges is not lying.
Yeah.
So I don't think there's any question.
So if there's a side that's lying, it would be the head coach who's just trying to deflect and push all potential controversy away.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
And so
yes.
He didn't see it as a conversation, but I do believe it was expressed.
Well, one thing that was pointed out during the whole story late yesterday about Bridges bringing this up to Tom Thibodeau was Bridges said Tom Thibodeau was receptive, but sometimes I think he just gets in his ways. Now, I'm parsing words here, but if Mikal Bridges is saying Tom Thibodeau was receptive, then it was more than just a passing comment.
Yes.
And so I will start off by saying this about Bridges, and I know I've said a lot of awful things about him over the last few months, but that's just being a jilted lover. I want to call this right down the middle as best as I can. I respect the hell out of Mikal Bridges calling out his head coach the way he did yesterday. And I also think that every single person out there needs to put respect on that man's name, because one thing he does, forget about the way he's played. I'm not even talking about that. That guy plays. He played in Phoenix.
Always there.
He played in Brooklyn. He plays here. He plays big minutes, and he plays all the time. So when Mikal Bridges makes a comment about minutes, I think we all should listen. Because this is not Joel Embiid who plays when he decides to play. He's not. Mm-hmm. He's not Anthony Davis, whose nickname is Street Clothes. You know what I mean? This is a guy, and I'm not suggesting Bridges is better than those guys. Again, this has nothing to do with the way he's played. I just want to be fair to a guy that I got to watch a lot of. He plays. So for him to open up his mouth and criticize a head coach, his head coach, I put some stock in it. And I think what Tom Thibodeau did last night is I think this bothers him. Mm. I think he's heard this from every corner. This has been something that's followed him in Chicago and Minnesota, now in New York, the minutes police. And I think what he decided to do last night, knowing he's never going to be pressed on it because he doesn't sit there doing one-on-one interviews, is he basically said, no, the conversation never happened. And then he went on to something else, which is just defending himself for why these guys play a lot of minutes. So lie is a strong word. But Tom Thibodeau did not tell us the truth last night.
He just deflected. And I don't mind it from Tom Thibodeau, because if you're the head coach of a team that's trying to finish out the season strong and finish as a 3 seed and get yourself ready to the postseason, deal with the injuries, all the things that happen for a head coach in any sport, particularly in the NBA, I think it's really critical, because the last thing you want is to be distracted by something like this. Deflect it. Kick it away. It doesn't matter. And so I understand why he would do that, why he would try to diminish what Mikal Bridges was saying. And if he is going to address it, why do we need to know, right? Why does the media need to know? And so
I think that's what he's probably saying to Bridges, probably privately. Like, let's talk about this privately.
I think you're right. And look, I don't think Mikal Bridges was being intentional and trying to, I don't know, call out Tom Thibodeau. I think he was just answering a question about how many minutes he and everybody on most of the starters on this Knicks team plays. And so I get it from both sides. I really do. But Tom Thibodeau needs to address it, and I'm sure he will internally. He just doesn't want to do it via the media. And ultimately, I don't care. As long as his team doesn't break down like they did a year ago and lose because of attrition, not because they're the inferior team, then good luck, Tom Thibodeau.
I think that this is an issue that pisses Tom Thibodeau off.
Yeah, but if we're right about it, or if Mikal Bridges is right about it, or the fans or the media is right about it, at some point he has to acknowledge that. I think that's the difference. Like, it pisses him off, but you can be pissed off and still be wrong.
Right. Well, I think the complicated part about the minutes debate, the minutes police argument that's gone on since the day he walked through the door, is that in one breath you want to win basketball games.
Yes.
And the best chance to win basketball games is for Josh Hart to be out there for 38 minutes. Your best chance at winning a basketball game, especially with the way OG has played, is for OG Anunoby to be playing 36, 37 minutes a night.
Mm-hmm.
So that is strictly a black and white. You want to win tonight? Those guys being out there give you a better chance. The gray area is the long-term impact of the same 3 or 4. Now Jalen's hurt, so obviously he is getting that rest. How much that long-term impact has on those guys by playing big minutes? And that's where it is such an uneven thing to answer. Mm. Because when you sit down there, especially last night, if you stayed up until after midnight, until 1 a.m., investing your time in watching an NBA game on the West Coast, you want to win. You're not worried about the development of Tyler Kolek.
Right.
You're not. You want to win. And I think the issue that Tom Thibodeau runs into every single year with all the teams he's had is managing the two things, which is trying to win a game on a given night, but also keeping guys refreshed.
Right.
Now, I think it comes down to this. Why did Mikal Bridges pick Wednesday, March 12th at a shoot-around to bring up a subject that only fans bring up? Why did he do it?
Wasn't he asked?
Well, but these guys get asked everything all the time. Doesn't mean you have to say it. Mm. And so my conspiracy theory, if you will, is that the guys in that room agree with him. And Mikal Bridges, and maybe it's because of his track record of playing every game, maybe it's the idea of, hey, I'm new around here.
Yeah.
I have no problem saying it. I think he was the one guy to come out and say it. Because Lugie's made this point about Josh Hart. Josh Hart's a tough guy. It doesn't fit Josh Hart's DNA to say publicly, yeah, we should play less minutes. But he can think it. Mm. And so instead of being the one to say it, Mikal Bridges is the one to say it. So I do believe that most of that roster agrees with Mikal Bridges.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't think he's bringing that up on his own.
But I think they also get why Tom Thibodeau plays them so many minutes, because they want to win. And there is a expectation that comes when you get to the postseason that you're going to play 42 minutes, whatever it may be, even more than you average in the regular season. You got to be conditioned to do that.
Mm.
And so it's such a fine line. But the problem for Tom Thibodeau is that he hasn't figured out when he's crossing that line.
Right. Like, that's a tough line to figure out.
The fine line of playing guys long enough so that they get the stamina, the strength, the familiarity with playing that long to win important games versus playing that long and getting guys hurt.
Right.
Or worn down or making them resent the fact that they're playing that long. Like, it's really tight. And I don't know who does it well, because you don't really hear about this anywhere else other than with the Knicks. Right? I'm sure other coaches push the minutes numbers, but the only place you hear it is here.
Well, and
I think it's mainly because guys get hurt.
It's mainly because that's Tom Thibodeau's reputation.
Right.
And unfortunately, when you have a reputation attached to you, it lives with you forever. This is not a new thing. This was a discussion in Minnesota. This was a discussion in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
But here's what changed yesterday. Here's why yesterday is actually a pivotal moment. And by the way, what a great victory. And like I started by saying, Mikal Bridges put his name out there, and he backed it up by hitting a game-winning shot and scoring 33.
Yeah.
Like, I got nothing but respect for what Mikal Bridges did last night. That's why I compare him to A-Rod. That's an A-Rod thing to do. But here's what changed yesterday. Talking about Tom Thibodeau and minutes has always been a WFAN thing. It's always been a Nick fan TV thing. It's always been a Twitter thing. It's always been a this is what Nick fan friends say to each other thing. That's been going on for a while. That's not new. Here's what's new. A guy on the roster brought it up.
Right.
It wasn't Evan Roberts screaming into a microphone. It wasn't Tommy Lugauer tweeting about it. It wasn't Tiki saying it. And I'm not trying to diminish our opinions. We have opinions as fans. That's a player on a team who plays more minutes than just about anybody, and I do put him ahead of Josh Hart because he plays every game and plays 38 minutes a night.
But he's also only been here for less than a full year.
He's been here for less than a full year, and like I said, and I'll say it again because I think it's very, very important in talking about this and him, he plays every bleeping game.
So he can say something.
Yes.
He can. If you're not doing it, I don't want to hear from you type of thing.
I agree.
But I just said he hasn't been here for a full year yet. That means he probably doesn't feel obligated to defend his head coach.
I think that's why he was the spokesman. But that's the key. I think he's the spokesman.
Mm.
I think Jalen Brunson, if you get him truth serum, because Jalen Brunson plays the media like a fiddle. He's brilliant at it.
Right.
He ain't going to tell you anything. But if you got the truth serum in him, he'll smile and say, yeah, no.
I'm with him. Me and Mikal talk about it all the time.
Yeah, he's killing me.
Same thing with honest guy Josh Hart. Because like you said yesterday, Tommy, Josh Hart's not going to come out and say play me less minutes because that's against his rep. Mikal Bridges don't give an F.
Right. Josh Hart has either been cloned by the Knicks or he's the most well-conditioned athlete ever.
Which he is, by the way. That's what Jalen Brunson said last year.
No doubt. Now, I will give some credence to Evan's conspiracy theory, but I'll add something to it. Mikal Bridges, in some ways, not just with Net fans, but with Knicks fans, is sort of the villain. So if he says this, it's just added heat to the heat he already has. If Jalen Brunson came out and said, Tibbs is riding us hard, man, this sucks, people will start to turn on JB. We know he's the king of New York. Mikal's already got his detractors. So to Evan's point, he is the perfect guy to be the quote-unquote fall guy for this.
Because he doesn't care. It doesn't matter.
Correct. Right. And he plays all the minutes he plays every
game. He's got all those things working for him. He's the newish guy. He's the heelish guy. And he's the guy who knows more about playing big minutes every single game than anybody else in this sport.
By the way, slightly facetiously, I was watching the game last night and Bridges had 5 fouls. In the back of my mind, I'm thinking, is he purposely getting in foul trouble?
Oh, stop.
Oh, you're not going to sit me? I'll just get in foul trouble and I'll be able to rest.
I was wondering, and I had a very interesting experience watching this game last night, because I don't know how people handle West Coast games. I mean, one option is to not watch it. That's obviously an option. Is that what you did, T?
My option.
So what I did last night, very different strategy is...
Halftime, I'm good.
See, I went to bed at 9:15. I went to bed very, very early. And my attitude was, I'm going to wake up early and I'll watch the game and I'll consume the game how I want to consume it. So I woke up at about 5 a.m. I started the game. I'm watching it. Now I'm skipping a little bit because it's like, I got to get this thing done.
Yeah.
I was, let's say, I think I was early fourth quarter And remember, I'm not a Knick fan, right?
So let's go Knicks.
My emotional investment is whatever.
You're watching professionally.
Correct. I say, I kind of want to be spoiled. I kind of want to watch the end of this game knowing the result. But how am I going to spoil myself? Do I just check my text messages where my good friend and Knick hater Mike Biseglia will text me his emotions after a Knick win or loss because he hates the Knicks? Do I check the NBA app? I just look at the score? What do I do? So I made a decision. How else would you spoil a game that you're going to watch the rest of? You know what I decided to do, Tiki Barber? I decided to simply read Tommy Lugauer's tweet. Because I know there is nothing more reliable than Tommy either saying, dude's dog's damage, we won.
Lugie!
Or Tommy saying, oh, this is the worst loss of the year. This was sobering.
Right. You don't need the context of what happened. You just know Tommy's going to give you win or loss.
So, exactly. Damage. So I decide I'm going to read his tweet, then I'll watch the rest of the game. All right? I'm like early to mid fourth quarter. So I check Tommy's tweet. I'll read what I read at about 5 a.m. The Knicks have dudes. The Knicks have dogs. They're going to do damage.
Damage.
Put some respect on Mikal Bridges' name. Okay. I'm like, oh, okay. Mikal played well. Not surprised. Knicks won. I was floored that they won on a buzzer beater. Because, no offense, bro, that tweet did not reek of buzzer beater down two.
What is it? Sounds more like they just pulled away.
Yes,
they're the better team. They dominated a squad that shouldn't have been in the game with them.
I kept waiting for Mikal to just hit a bunch of threes late. Knicks win by 10. And as the game is unfolding, especially in overtime when Josh Hart makes the brain fart. I'm like, wait a second. Are they going to win the game? I thought Mikal will tie the game. They'll go to second overtime. Boy, I got a headache. I couldn't believe as the ball left his hands that he was going to hit a game-winning three, and that's all I got from Tommy.
To be fair to Tommy.
Tommy.
Bridges had a couple of really key plays, passes, defensive plays at the end of the game, so I was speaking more in the totality, and I'll just say this. Looked a hell of a lot more comfortable on the floor without Brunson.
Oh, he was the alpha, that's why.
So what are you saying?
I'm just stating a fact. He just looked more comfortable. He looked the most comfortable I've seen him all season long. So maybe this is part of it,
too. You know why? Because he knew, no offense to Cat, who kind of disappears late in these games, that trend continued. Mikal knew he was the guy. He knew, I'm taking the last shot. I'm the dude. I'm the dog.
And he answered
some guys know their assignment. Whether it's, I'm going to be second fiddle here to Jalen Brunson when he's the man. But when he's not here, I gotta step up.
Yeah.
Not everybody can do that, by the way. Not every, I don't want to call him backup because he's a starter, but you know what I mean. Not every second fiddle alpha can do that, where they get tasked with being the man and they just kind of fall short.
Yep.
Give him credit, man.
I give Mikal Bridges a lot of credit because last night was his A-Rod moment. Mm. Start a controversy in the afternoon, end it at night with a heroic moment. We'll get to your calls next. Where do you stand now on Bridges representing Knick players to air a public grievance against the head coach on an issue Knick fans have been debating for years? The toll-free number is 888-808-1019. And Tom Thibodeau supporters and the minutes police that now Mikal Bridges has entered the debate in. For those that missed the end of last night's game, and I think most people did because it ended at almost 1 o'clock in the morning, the Knicks won on what I like to call a true buzzer beater. Because I think if it's a tie game, Teak, a buzzer beater is cool, but it's like, eh.
Yeah, it doesn't mean anything.
Eh, if it doesn't go in, it's another overtime.
Right, you still got another chance to win it in the next overtime period.
Exactly.
Right, different.
But when you're down by one or two and you hit a buzzer beater to win a game, oh, that's very special. And last night was a true buzzer beater performance by Mikal Bridges, so I am going to present to you four different versions of these calls. And you tell me what you like about each one. Are you ready?
No, let's hear it.
Let's start with the traditional one. This is the one that most people heard, of course, last night on MSG. The great Mike Breen.
Knicks break. Hart gets it. Right back to Bridges. Bridges puts up a three. Bang! Bang! Mikal Bridges wins it at the buzzer. What a finish!
Double bang!
A double bang. And it was only the second three-pointer he made last night.
That's right.
It was only four he took or five, whatever it was. But that was a double bang.
Now, we've mentioned
it's hard
this.
Not to love that one.
Oh, that's a good one.
It's impossible not to love that one.
It is so rare for Mike Breen to whip out the double bang. Now, remember, if you're new to Evan and Tiki or you've just never heard this, we finally discovered when he would offer a triple bang. He revealed that with Jalen Brunson and Josh Hart a few weeks ago, that it would take a game-winning shot in a finals game by a Knicks player, and then he would give us the triple. But last night, if you stayed up, you were gifted a double bang.
Double bang, and it's funny because he so walked.
Oh, I know he did. I know. They're not going to call that.
It was like the give and go handoff with pressure. He's so walked.
You know, I thought about it when I watched it.
Let me look at this again. Hold on. One, two, three. It took three steps.
He walked. But they don't call that.
No, they never do. But it was an awesome shot.
And they called Josh Hart for moving on that inbounds pass, which they never called too. So you know what? Let the other one go.
I did that one. I disagree with that. So that's an obvious call. You're not allowed to off a miss. And
but they don't.
He broke the call. No, they call that.
That not a lot, though. You see that happen that often? I think Josh Hart does that basically every game, and I rarely see him get called
for it. You know why they don't call it very often? Because most people don't have brain farts to do it. Don't make me rip Josh Hart.
Take your shots.
It's true, though. All right, here's call number two. This is the Portland Trail Blazers television call.
Okay.
How did they react to the Bridges game winner?
Sharp will defend the inbounds. Murray is in to defend. It comes to Hart. Off to Bridges. Stops. Pops. A three. Got it.
Dude, the setup was amazing.
It was.
Off the three. He stopped. Props.
He got it.
He got it.
Let's get the hell out of here.
I kind
of
like that, actually.
That wasn't Pops bad. A three. Got it.
Got it. Yeah. Got it. All right. Let me get the hell out of here. Now, our friend CP the Franchise on his Knick Fan TV channel has this. It's a very cool gimmick where they do a live play-by-play.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they don't do play-by-play. You're not allowed to, so not breaking any rules. But CK2K, I think is his name. I forget, but he's very entertaining. Does like a live play-by-play. So I wanted to see his call for the game-winning Mikal Bridges shot. So here you go.
Here comes the inbound. Mikal Bridges with the inbound. Already not a fan of this play. He's looking around. He finds Hart right back to Bridges. Bridges for three. Mikal Bridges! Mikal Bridges! Huge three! Bridges hot. Stand up, baby! Let's go! Game and set!
I like that.
Right.
I love the way it started with CK being like, I hate this play call already.
Gives an opinion during the play-by-play. I love it.
He forgot the match.
Game, set, match.
Right. You got to have the match.
That's true.
Maybe he doesn't watch
inbound
a lot.
Inbound already not a fan of this play.
Maybe he doesn't watch a lot of tennis.
Maybe. I probably not. And then finally, Chris Big Mac McMonagle was live on WFAN watching the game, doing his overnight show.
Was he in the middle of talking about something else?
No. He was glued to the game. He had just finished ripping Josh Hart for the Hart Fart, as I like to call it. And then Big Mac gave us his description of the game winner.
This would be a brutal, brutal loss. This is a team, a Portland team, that's 10 games under 500. And even in this stretch right now that you don't have Brunson, you're supposed to win games like this. 3.4 seconds left.
Oh, there he is! Hey, when you run your mouth, you have to back it up. And Mikal Bridges just hits a buzzer-beater three-pointer at the top of the key to give the Knicks the 114-113 victory. That is a big-time shot. That's the biggest moment of the year for Mikal Bridges. That is a huge shot. Earlier in the day, so much talk about him talking about minutes. A guy who plays every single game, a guy who plays 40-plus minutes, leading the league in minutes for a time. I know he's gotten benched, and you know I haven't double-checked, but his minutes might be down compared to some others. But in a league that is known for its resting of its players and its load management, this guy plays every single day for a million minutes. Now, he's been brutal this year. He's been absolutely brutal this year, there's no doubt. But he just hit an enormous shot to pull Josh Hart right out of the fire because he had a miserable end of the game. And a big-time three at the top of the key at the buzzer to win the game for the Knicks. In a, must-win. No, it's not a must-win. But that was a game you do not want to lose here.
There you go.
Right.
What'd you think of Big Mac?
I like Big Mac.
Yeah.
I like Breen and Big Mac.
Breen and Big Mac.
Yes.
Very much exciting stuff. At close to 1 a.m. last night. What was your reaction, Loogie? Did you say anything out loud, or was your wife sleeping and you tried to stay quiet?
She was sleeping. I woke her up.
You did?
Oh, yeah.
By doing what? By saying something? By screaming? By yelling? By doing what?
The old boom! Especially because it was Bridges.
Why?
Because those...
You like Bridges more or something?
Those are the moments, my dear friend, Evan, that I wish we lived together. And we had an apartment in Queens,
Tommy,
and I could be sharing that moment with you.
I know you don't believe me. And I
he was
swear.
Also sleeping, though, by the way.
Right. It was I would have woke his ass up. To-
I didn't see it until 4 hours later. I am completely over Mikal Bridges. I really am. Like, I'm giving my honest opinions about what he said,
yeah,
what he's done.
It's not like your team is in position to use him.
But, yeah. But.
It's over. He's not. It means nothing.
And like it was only a year.
It was a year and a half. And honestly, like, when he hit the game-winning shot last night, I was like, okay.
But Tiki, Evan leads and represents people that aren't over it.
He the Nets still in the league.
The spokesperson.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games, or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are just still pissed off about this.
You're lucky you're not on Twitter.
No, I don't think I disagree. I don't think it's hating Mikal Bridges. What it is, and you can't blame us for this, is that we want the Knicks to fail for a myriad of reasons now, including
the draft pick.
The draft picks, which, I mean, that's business. But I don't think like there's a deep-seated dislike towards Mikal Bridges. When I watch James Harden play, it bubbles in my stomach how much he bothers me. Kyrie Irving still bothers me. Mikal Bridges does not bother.
The hapless Nets.
Let's get to your calls, 888-808-1019. Hunter is in Poughkeepsie. How are you, Hunter?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Good to talk to you again.
Likewise.
So just hear me out for a second. As the future of WFAN, Tommy Lugauer, always says, the Knicks have dudes, they got dogs, and they do damage. But even if a dog doesn't get rest, it's going to get damaged. And the reason why Tom Thibodeau has this, this black cloud around him over this minutes thing over his career is because it's simply true. Take a look at all of his teams over the years, from Chicago all the way up to now. He's not gone deep in the playoffs too many times. And why don't you ask Derrick Rose's knees or Joakim Noah's back or Julius Randle's shoulder or Mitchell Robinson's ankle.
The problem,
but
Hunter, the problem is what you did right there is you put every injury that's ever been around the Tom Thibodeau team, you literally put it on the shoulders of Tom Thibodeau, and that is not fair.
Yeah.
Do we really think Derrick Rose tore his ACL because of the minutes?
Mm-hmm. No, I don't think so.
It's possible.
ACLs, to me, they tend to be random. Whether it was an acute step the wrong way, or it's not usually an accumulative thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Unless it's partially torn and it's just misdiagnosed and you don't realize it. It's about to go. But I don't put that on minutes.
That's the problem. But, that's why I get it's a debate, and it's been something that's followed his entire career. But what I think Hunter did that is not fair, especially with Randle, because we watched it firsthand,
right,
I'm is thinking to put about, every injury right. on that.
But I'm thinking about Julius Randle, because you just brought him up. Like, that wasn't a minutes thing.
No, now, should he have been in the game at that point in the game? That's a fair argument.
Yeah, but that what happened to Julius Randle 2 seasons ago could have happened in minute 20.
I agree.
Right?
But it didn't.
You're right.
That's the problem.
True, but it's still the randomness of injury makes it hard to blame minutes. You know what I mean?
I think you have to look overall and say, and this is the fair critique of Tom Thibodeau, and he'll face it if the next season ends before the second round of the playoffs. Why has his teams, as talented as they've been in the regular season, never gone to an NBA Finals?
Yeah.
Why have they rarely gone to a conference
Finals? Didn't he go to one? In Chicago?
No, not an NBA Finals. No, he lost in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Right, he went to the
Miami
Finals.
Heat. They lost in five. I was in the building for game five at the United Center that year. But no, and I think that overall kind of resume is certainly a fair critique, no doubt. Let's go to Jason in Waterbury. What's up, Jason?
Hey, guys, good to talk to you. Listen, I love Thibodeau, and guess what this league was built on? Superstars playing every night and playing every minute.
Right.
Okay, so I like Bridges. You know what? I know he plays every night, and he always has. But you know what? That's why the NBA is unwatchable. That's why college basketball is a better watch, because you can watch these guys compete.
One thing has nothing to do with the other. Yeah. So I understand if you want to do the whole old guy back in my day argument, but it has absolutely nothing to do with this particular issue.
Right. Athletes are different now.
They are, and they're treated differently. And if you don't like the NBA because guys don't play enough minutes, don't watch the NBA. Quite frankly, then don't watch it. But this is about today and in this moment. And in this moment, if you are a Knicks fan, which means you still like and watch the NBA, it's not about comparing to 25 years ago. It's about this moment. And by the way, speaking of the NBA, earlier this season, a lot was made over their TV ratings being down. Mm-hmm. And my humble opinion was I thought that was overrated because I think the NBA is consumed in a very different way. A lot of young people, when I mean young people, I'm talking like teenagers,
right.
consume basketball via TikTok, via short videos,
right.
via
YouTube. They watch the clips on YouTube or they go to NBA.com.
Yes.
And you can basically watch the important parts of an entire game on NBA.com.
Agreed.
Any night.
Agreed. So while the TV ratings were down, I kind of looked at that and said, I don't think the NBA is in this horrible place. Ever since, however you want to say it happened, that's up to you. I think it's shady as hell. But ever since the Luka trade, the NBA ratings have gone up. The Lakers-Celtic game from this past weekend was the highest rated regular season game, non-Christmas, in 7 years.
Right.
The ratings are so up that they've offset the loss from the beginning of the season, which means and just confirms that the league knew exactly what they were doing when they approved that monstrosity of a trade.
Yeah, but forget the monstrosity of the trade. The reality is it's getting close to the playoffs. That's why it's interesting.
I also think the Lakers being back.
It matters. Of course it helps, and that matters. And I think once you're at this stage of the season, though, you start to hone in on who's good and who's got a chance to win a championship. So, of course, you're going to watch more.
Highest in 7 years, though.
I mean, that's saying something,
I think the rivalries matter, and the Lakers being back, as much as it makes me sick, matters.
LeBron James!
The entire at least today's portion of the Big East tournament is on the Peacock. Are you familiar with this? It's not even on regular TV, right, Lukey? It's only on Peacock?
The ACC tournament is on ESPN.
Yes, no,
I know that.
But I'm talking about the Big East tournament because I'm watching the Peacock right now. That's how I watch the end of the St. John's game.
So it is not on TV anywhere?
I think it's only on Peacock.
I believe you are correct on
Peacock.
That.
So right now Marquette is playing Xavier, and the reason I bring that up is that's who St. John's is going to play tomorrow night at about 6 o'clock, 6:30, whenever that game
gets. The winner of this game?
The winner of Marquette Xavier plays St. John's tomorrow. Now, I have a dumb question. Very dumb question. Okay? And then we'll get back to your phone calls. my guy, because he is my guy until proven otherwise, my guy Cooper Flagg went down with what looks to be a very severe ankle issue.
Right.
Now, Duke won their game anyway. Duke is online to be a number one seed in the NCAA tournament. But one of the fakakta rules in college sports that bothers me to this day is that they will seed you based on health sometimes. Mm. If Cooper Flagg is out for a significant period of time, I don't know the answer. I'm asking the question.
Right.
Is that going to affect Duke?
It depends. It depends on if they still win the ACC tournament. Like, if they just roll through, like, they have, they'll likely play, I don't know who they'll play, with Wake or North Carolina, whoever, whichever one of these teams they play next. If they roll through them,
it won't matter.
It won't matter. But if they struggle and or lose, I think it will affect how they get seated.
I believe
Cooper
that.
Flagg, I mean, he was in a wheelchair, dude.
I know.
It's not like he just kind of limped off with help from a trainer. They put him in a wheelchair.
You don't think I was keeping an eye on that,
Tink? So if I'm Cooper Flagg, I'm seriously questioning whether or not it's worth playing in the ACC.
No, he needs to rest.
In the NCAA tournament.
He needs to rest, Teak.
He needs to play every single minute.
Shut
you know what?
Up. He needs to rest. I need that ankle to
Why
be.
Why do you need him to play every minute?
Tibbs needs to take over at Duke and play Cooper Flagg every single minute, convince him to come back to school, and just basically have him running out of gas before he goes
really
to the Nets.
You think he's going to come back to school?
He could.
Why would he come back to school? He's going to be the number one overall pick.
Because they pay college kids now, and he'll probably make more at Duke next year.
This conversation is just about him trolling me. That's all this is now. He doesn't actually care about Cooper Flagg's minutes. But it would that affect their seed line if he's out?
No. So I think that they will still be a one seed. Now, what the committee could do, they could make them the fourth one seed, which means they would have a harder region. Perhaps St. John's could be the two seed in that region.
They wouldn't fall off the one line.
No shot, because number one, they're really, really good without Cooper Flagg, and there's a potential that he could come back. And it's Duke. They love Duke.
Reading more into the quad one wins, quad two wins all
I hate
the
that. I can't understand it.
I barely do too, but what my interpretation was about St. John's is that they're either a two or they're a three. That they're not jumping up to one, they're not dropping back to four. And the more I came to that conclusion and read about it, the more I realized that the Big East tournament doesn't mean a damn thing. Because I'm like, what the hell's the difference?
Yeah, they won't improve their seeding in the NCAA tournament based on what they do.
I guess
here
it's
the
just the excitement of winning it at Madison Square Garden.
Yes, that's true.
Because I remember when Seton Hall won it, and it was like, it was exciting. And then when they got drawn, I think, against Gonzaga a few weeks later, I was like, what the hell was the point of that?
Yeah, I mean, listen.
Where'd that go?
Both things could be true, but if I was a St. John's fan, I'd rather lose like today and go to the Final Four than win the Big East tournament and get knocked out.
Yeah, you already know you were the better team, best team in the Big East.
Right, Murray State as a 15 seed knocks me out. I wouldn't want that.
I think that's a very obvious statement, but we appreciate you putting that in. That's like me saying, hey, T, as a Jet fan, I'd rather go to the Super Bowl than just beat the Patriots twice. But thank you for that, Tommy.
It's true. Facts.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.